Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Straight talk, enthusiastic support, and heartfelt encouragement for you to open up to your sacred sexuality. And now your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Yay! Thank you, my love. This is so exciting. I am glad to be here. I'm really honored to be hosting and sharing on this beautiful topic so close to my heart. And each show, we're going to go through a little bit of what's it like to get in our body. So we may include some meditation, some breathing, some as well as some discussion, education, awareness, stories of my own path, questions from you, answers, whatever this may look like. I really look forward to embarking once again today around what is sacred sexuality, what is this path, what's it like to explore it. For that, I'm going to have us begin with a little bit of exactly that, plugging in, getting in our body, arriving. And then we'll open up into today's topic. So let's begin with a sense of noticing your breath, noticing your body. I invite you to settle in whatever place and time you are, whether you're joining in live with us today, yay, or listening in the archives, yay. Let yourself find a place to plug in. Invite an exhale with some sound. And notice as you breathe, what's it like to feel your body? Maybe it's noticing the way the breath moves through the body, the sensations of breath. Are there places in your body that expand or contract with breath? Do you notice a temperature, maybe a coolness across the upper lip at the nostrils as you inhale, perhaps? And an invitation that giving yourself permission to make sound, to tone, vibrate, perhaps move, wiggle, undulate, stretch. Feel how that gives yourself permission, perhaps to let a little bit go. What are you hanging on to that no longer serves? You don't even have to name it. Just invite a space of to release some of that stuff that's hanging on. Could be a hectic morning, could be whatever it is in your life that's just holding on for a little bit. Give it some permission to let go. And dropping your awareness back, noticing if it's kind of in the forward part of your body or the up where your eyes or the frontal lobe of your brain are, can you drop that back into the middle of the brain? Maybe back even a little bit further, connecting with your midline in whatever way that is for you. Maybe noticing your spinal cord. And allowing your awareness to drop down, to feel a little line of connection, like dropping a ground cord down to the earth, through the tailbone, through the roots of your body, perineum, soft in the pelvis. And as you drop down, bringing your awareness deep into the pelvis as a space of softening in that creative center, that sexual center, the water center, the deep place of the pelvis. And a breath of gratitude there of, yes, please, Earth, help me connect my body to yours from this center, this womb center or Hara or lower Dantian. Help me connect my body to you and help me to feel. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Allowing yourself to feel that gratitude of that connection. And I invite you from this deep place of womb, of creative center, of Hara, lower Dantian, regardless of your gender and how you identify in your gender, this sweet space that is how we connect with creative energy, sexual energy, life force. Yes, let that space be full, wide, soften, and swollen with possibility. And with the breath of gratitude for taking time to settle in this deeply for yourself, gently bring your awareness back into the space around you. Opening your eyes. And being in your skin. Yay, welcome. So today we are exploring on this beautiful path of sacred sexuality, something that I'm going to sum up as I was sitting with what this topic was today and a lot of content pouring through on what it was supposed to be. I want to sum it up with the phrase empowered sexuality. And so with a topic of empowered sexuality, to me, that means feeling really good about making a choice. So empowerment, you know, reconnecting with the power, and our power is in our sexual center, that power of connection with our body and with our choices, that making a choice becomes a conscious, intentional one versus feeling like anybody else or life or experiences outside of us or our sexual energy itself is driving the show. And that said, so that's what I mean by empowerment. Like, oh, free will, tapping into that truth, that deep fundamental human truth, which is free will. We have the power to choose. So that, with the balance of letting go, surrendering to trust in the flow of life, in the flow of divine, of source, of universe, that it's both. Empowerment to me is both. Because if I just call empowerment choice and then I get really hyper-control-y about it, which I might be speaking a little bit from personal experience there, around trying to over-control life and over-control my sexual energy, then I'm shutting down effectively the other beautiful half of this limb of possibility, which is letting go and surrendering. So empowered sexuality, to me, a balance of choice and letting go. And those two things coming together are a really divine balance. And this balance that I always come back to of these qualities or complementary energies together. And I'll often use the words masculine and feminine to describe those. And we're actually going to go into that a little bit today because I want to, once again, a reminder, a reset around these energies, these qualities of masculine and feminine energies or complements or balancing each other is not a gender thing. It's not a male-female thing. And so that's, we'll come back to as well. So today, empowered sexuality, making a choice and letting go. What's it like to feel? So as we continue then for this topic, I want to start with a bit of an inspiration of why, how did this come through? What's going on with what's with my life today and with life recently? And what's emerging is, as I've been in, and I've mentioned, being in the deep study of a modality that's very much around letting the body reconnect with what it knows deeply as its truth. And that means spaciousness and fluidic nature and the nature of our light and the nature of who we are as wide, spacious beings. And so there's this huge value that I've come to have some glimpses of knowing, and I look to learn and know more deeply, the value in the stillness and the value in slowing down and allowing, and the very nature of letting go that I made the point of pointing out earlier. That in that modality, and specifically what I'm referring to is biodynamic cranial sacral therapy. I'm in the final year, or we're heading into this final year of this program that I've been in, which has been over 3 years. And this deep nature of supporting the body and the system to just really reconnect with its truth of finding and connecting with that stillness as a reorganization of possibility, that by tapping into that primal soup of nothingness, we allow a reorganization to happen and allow our bodies to really form in the way of the greatest possibility and balance and wholeness. And that's a really powerful concept, because it goes against what I had been living for so long in what I'll call corporate, heteronormative, mainstream life land, that was, you have to do everything. You have to set a goal and put a plan together and put a 5-year list together and put a 10-year list together. And you need to show action steps that you're going to take to get towards those things. And while there's some value in that, especially for those of us who maybe don't feel super internally motivated, that can be supportive, right? That can really help us create and manifest things in our lives and go, wow, I'm capable. And so it was that for me for a bit. And that was really important. It helped me learn. It served me to know that I could do anything I put my mind to. If I set a goal and put it out there, that was possible. And I had that bit of that spiritual awakening that I've described of like, whoa, the universe said, you don't get to plan everything out. And as far as this having a baby thing that you want, yeah, we'll just see if you're gonna attack it the same way you've been attacking everything else. So as I released and let go and found that by softening my heart and allowing, that's what supported, it helped me see the value to the other side. So for me, my pendulum was swung super hard in the intensity side. And what I invite is, feel where you are on your pendulum swing, because this is about balance. So someone who swung really far the other way, which is, I don't get anything done. I don't, you know, and I don't feel happy. You know, it's one thing to say, well, I'm not doing anything. And yeah, I feel really delightful about that. Great. But if it's, wow, there's some things I'd really like to see manifest in my life and I haven't, I don't think I can. I encourage you to step into the power of like, yeah, you can. You can make a choice and do that consciously. So anyway, as I was then sitting with all of this and in that program that I'm in, doing a final project, and what came to me, and this took a bit of time, because I think, frankly, there was a part of me resisting this very true thing of what I needed to do as a final project. And I was dancing around some other possibilities. And finally, the universe is like, oh, you really need to do this. You need to own it. And so what it was acknowledging that what would it be like to really deeply explore the nature of how that work can have an influence on sexual function. The deep work of allowing the body to widen and open and soften and connect with who it is. What is that impact on our sexual function? And that question, as it started to brew in my mind, started to beg other questions. Because what I've noticed in all of my research and awareness in the realm of sex education and sexology is that many of the paths, especially in the West, are set up around dysfunction. So sex education becomes more about, here are all the things that you might notice are going wrong. How can you work with that? And it also takes the presence, even in sort of what I'll call sex positive culture, of kind of mechanizing it. Like it's a list of things to do. Like sex is all about, well, yeah, it's okay to feel good about sex. So you're allowed to do A, B, and C, you know, whether it's oral or anal or touch or and fetish and kink. And those are all great. Like, yes. And there's a real value. They're all kind of, I've seen, centered around something that's called what I'll call sex drive as being a really active principle. Like, hey, it feels good to want to have sex. And so I'm feeling this drive. And I expanded on this in a prior episode which I encourage, if you want to explore that a bit more, to go back and listen to that one. But just to sum it up now, what my point was with sex drive versus sex awe is that, yes, drive is lovely, and it's a really active principle. It's that really, it's set up, if you even look up the definition of sex drive and sex and libido, it's all around action, like drive, horniness, libido, and it's all about this like real strong active principle. And what I want to invite is that's part of our sexuality. And another way that really is a huge impact on our sexual function is what I call sex awe, which is what's it like to also acknowledge the other end of that spectrum, that it's not just about drive. It is also about, can I open, can I widen, can I relax and soften in a way that allows the juiciness of my sexual energy, of my life force, to flow through my body? Can I access it from within? Can I create space for it? So it's kind of the other end of that spectrum or pendulum, that it's not just about the drive and the action and the which are also yummy. It's about the and the surrender and the trust and the flow. So I realized that as I was creating questionnaires and starting to formulate this research study that I'm doing for a final project around the impact of biodynamic cranial sacral therapy on sexual function, that in itself was begging the question of how do we measure sexual function? As you look out there, it tends to be measured around what's wrong. And what I want to invite is there's another way to look at it. And so that's continuing to merge in its own time, and we will come back to that. But as I was putting together that questionnaire, what it started to evoke was the recognition that as much as we want, you know, the other piece that it started to evoke, two pieces. One was, you know, we tend to measure this by dysfunction, by what's wrong. So let's take a look at just another way. And so I've been doing that. But also the other thing that it started to evoke, which wasn't all that surprising because I've talked about this before and I really, you know, I have a hard time with shoving ourselves in boxes. And the whole idea of having to check a box on a form that says, are you male or female? And identifying in only two boxes. And that just doesn't ring for me at all. And we've talked about another view of gender. So I want to reset with that, with a little summary of that as well. That as we look at gender and that also not just the two checkboxes, but now as we're talking about sexual function, of the one place in the world where, you know, people might say, well, okay, I can see that gender isn't all that important if you're doing, I don't know, if you're signing up on a form to play soccer, right? Like, why do we care what genitalia we have? And yet there is this question of, well, no, with our sexual energy, that's where it matters. And I'm going to invite pushing the limit of, or pushing the edge of awareness around, like, no, we do not have to sit in boxes, even when we're talking about sexuality. And this is what I want to offer through the course of what we're talking about today in this empowered sexuality. What's it like to release boxes around how we think we have to fit and let ourselves really connect with authentically who we are and the choices we can make? And I want to take a moment to reset on gender as we head into that. And then we're going to spend some time exploring some of these topics in sexuality that seem so gender focused. And what I've noticed and started to learn is they're actually not. And I want to give a little bit of perspective awareness on that. So now, starting with a reset on gender, again, an exploration in past episodes, if you want to go more deeply into this, and I'll sum it up as this. If we look simply at the nature of how we develop as humans, that we are consciousness coming into form, and that from source, we are sort of laid down in this primal matrix as the egg meets the sperm and we start unfolding from the cellular division of our nature. There is a way that we start to emerge. And this emergence, this unfurling, this unfolding in our fluidic bed of possibility starts to diverge. We start all with the same tissue that starts to diverge at around 6 to 7 or 8 weeks in embryo, in utero as an embryo. And at that point, the what starts to happen is the tissue that is to become the clitoris starts to lengthen and descend and become the penis. Or the tissue that is to become ovaries starts to drop down into the tissue that was becoming labia, as those labia now open and descend to become scrotal sacs to hold what become the testicles that were the ovaries. So there's these analogous tissues. And you can look this up. This is not just me making stuff up. If you look up the homologues of genitalia in anatomy books and in sciences, you'll see that this is a very real and understood phenomena in the science realm. And what I want to invite is taking it a step further in awareness. That's profound to me, that these tissues are developing from the same tissue and that it just starts to become a divergence. Well, who's to say that that divergence only has two possibilities, the way we try to check on the boxes on the forms? There's a whole rainbow spectrum of how we may develop in utero. There's also a rainbow spectrum of how we may emerge physically as at birth and how we may even make choices physically later in life. And all of those choices are, to me, honored, right? This is who we are. The other piece of it, so that's just the physical genitalia piece, and that's often how we try to stick people in the two boxes. Oh, well, if you have a penis and testicles, you're a boy, and if you have a labia and a clitoris and a vagina, you're a girl, and let's check those boxes. Those boxes and the even the physicalness is not always that cut and dry. It's a spectrum. So rather than trying to create it into cut and dry, let's let it be the spectrum. And that's only half of it, part of it. How we identify in our energetic body can be something completely different. So I might be born into a female physical body and have an identification that feels like, wow, I really feel like I'm a boy. Where's my penis? And I've talked to people who've expressed this directly in their awareness, and it gives them much grief because of the societal pressures put upon having to sit in one or the other of the boxes. So what's it like to be a young child at age 5 and look down at your body that is born female and go, where is my penis? It must not have been yet. And how just deeply profound and respectful I say that as the overwhelming sensations and emotions and fears that can raise for people. And then how does that express through our lives? So I want to invite, like, why sit in the box, or why force other people to sit in the box? Let's let the boxes drop and let us be who we are. And energetically, we may identify completely differently than the way our physical body does. Or maybe energetically, we identify in a whole spectrum or in a couple different ways. And the point is, let it be what it is. So in my own journey, I've found a much deeper connection that while I was born in a female physical body, and I thought I needed to identify as a girl growing up, although that never quite seemed to fit. There were pieces of it did and felt good. And then I got to this point where I realized, yes, and. Like, I can delight in that and be in a physical body and delight in my female physicalness. And I can be aware of my masculine and my male energetics. I'm using those two words specifically differently. And we'll come back to talking a little bit more about all this as we start to settle in. First, I want to take a moment and a breath and a break.
Thank you, Leslie. You're listening live to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Today is December 15th, 2015, and you are listening with Leslie Blackburn and her show, Sacred Sexuality. If you would like to talk to Leslie today, give us a call at 646-378-0378. And that number again is 646-378-0378. And now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Thank you. Yay. Thank you, Courtney. So today we are exploring empowered sexuality, connecting with making a choice and our basic human truth of free will, and balancing that with letting go, with surrendering, with like, I can just be. I don't have to force it all. And so I just talked about, you know, the inspiration of this research study, starting to question the very nature of what is sexual function, and how can we repattern and look at it in a new way, in an empowering way, instead of a limiting one that says, what's a set of things I can't do? And so as we now continue on that, sharing also a little bit on gender and spectrum and the balance and how we can reset the way we look at gender. And as now I want to take that a little bit further. So this, as I started to sit with all of this and notice that it's actually quite freeing to lift the bounds of I must talk about sexuality and sex in a gendered way, in a, oh, males do this or feel this way, females do this or feel this way, and how there's so many cases of where that doesn't align that it's just not even, it's almost not worth having things split that way. Although sometimes it can be supportive just to give us, you know, in our English language, labels help us start to form things in ways to communicate and in our structure. Because if we start to release some of that, it gets hard to communicate about. And that's what I've been dancing in. So for example, the thing I wanted to get to is around a path that I often will call male ejaculatory choice. And I realized, you know, I don't have to call it male ejaculatory choice because that implies you have to be in this box checked male. And the reality is some people who identify in the box checked male may not have the same genitalia or structure, and that's divine. And that said, the people who are, quote, in the male checkbox may not have all of these same types of things that are in their awareness or in their that are alive for them. So my point is I want to start to release those gendered descriptions, although the gendered descriptions often help hone in for people on like, yeah, that resonates or that's for me. So it's an interesting balance. But this is my point. So with male ejaculatory choice, which I'm going to call ejaculatory choice right now, I want to talk about what the nature of it is. So first of all, just talking about that as a path sometimes is brand new information for people. So I feel like we're going into the weird of the weird again. I talk about celebrating the weird. And that even to talk about sexuality and sexual function and sex education, that at a minimum is weird in many realms of our mainstream society. So many people don't want to talk about sexuality or really look at it and face it and explore it and learn about it. So we're dancing into that realm right there. And then now what I'm inviting is, as we dance into that realm, let's go into the weird place of trying to remove these gendered expressions and just be authentic. And that's another layer of like, whoa, we're okay. What are we talking about? So I just want to acknowledge that it can feel edgy and weird and difficult to even explore some of these concepts, let alone to take them into the deep place that says, you know, we're not all built alike and that's okay. So having the compassion for those of us who've grown up going, I feel good about understanding that, but I don't know how to articulate it. I'm a little, I'm stumbling around. Aho, I get that. And so I want to invite some ways. So here we go. A topic we will often hear called male ejaculatory choice, or what we'll often hear called male ejaculatory control or mastery. And what I want to invite is a shift in what it's called, and also a shift in awareness of how it really functions through our bodies. So if I rewind back to what it is from some of the ancient traditions, the Taoists probably, of all the sacred sexual paths that I've danced in, are probably most influenced from the Taoist sacred sexual teachings for this particular topic. And that is this nature that our sexual energy is stored in our sperm or eggs, right? So depending on the physical body that we are in, whether we're producing sperm or producing eggs, that our sexual energy is stored there. So the ovaries or the testicles. Notice again, those are those analogous tissues, right? Remember back embryo land, it's coming from the same place. So we start to develop these early on. And the intriguing thing to me is that when ovaries and eggs are developed, those are actually developed before the little being is born. And so, again, traditionally called female beings that are born with ovaries, we're born with them. And so that's an interesting distinction from sperm, which is sperm's produced and created and turns over, you know, millions of times. Each ejaculation, which carries millions of sperm, is a set of sperm that's just been created. So the sperm are this whole moment in time energy, whereas the egg is the ongoing energy, which I find to be really kind of a cool awareness to sit with as we start to work with sexual energy. So in the Taoist tradition of talking about how our energy is stored in the eggs or stored in the sperm. So then the practices of sexual energy, of moving sexual energy becomes, can we cultivate the energy in those places in our body and work with them differently so that, for example, in this path of ejaculatory choice we're describing, if the sperm are ejaculated from the body in the semen, you know, they leave through the ejaculate from a male-bodied being, that sperm that's leaving the body in this awareness, the theory is as it leaves, it's carrying with it some of that life force energy that is stored in our sexual center. So as that life force energy leaves the body, there's a bit of a drain, right? We've lost a little bit of our life power. And the tradition would say rather than have it leave the body and drain and have this refractory period of sort of the traditional way of looking at that ejaculation sequence is build, build, build to an ejaculatory orgasm that has a climax and an outcome, like a goal-oriented experience, and then have the ejaculation along with the orgasm that then that peak experience drops off. There's a tendency to kind of go, whoa, okay, I'm sleepy, I'm tired, I want to roll over and go to bed and check out. And I've lost my sense of aliveness. There's this checkout period. That experience, the invitation is, while that can feel good to have that ejaculation, it's also, I remember a fellow tantra teacher describing it as a sneeze in the groin. It can be a very fast experience and kind of over quickly and not maybe incredibly satiating. In fact, some people feeling guilt and shame afterwards for various reasons that may be patterned in. So this is it's kind of a quick experience. It might feel good as a tension release, and then it doesn't feel incredibly satiating or doesn't feel incredibly inspiring in terms of aliveness and vibrancy and possibility. So the tradition then of what I was naming as male ejaculatory choice or control or mastery is that, okay, instead of that, what's it like to learn to recirculate the energy in the body so that it's, using techniques that are connected with breath, sound, movement, touch, and visualization, that we can now take that energy and allow it to spread into and be shared with other areas of the body and potentially partners and the divine. It can be a solo practice or it can be a dual or many cultivated practice with partners. It can also be a practice with divine connection. This practice then is that I'm referring to is about taking energy that's becoming really genitally focused and wanting to drive out into that sort of outward ejaculatory experience that results in the refractory period and have it recirculate in the body. With the key being, if the sperm, at least in this teaching, if the sperm doesn't leave the body, then we're retaining that energy. So there's a few things with that that I'll point out. One is to release fears around, oh no, so if I'm ejaculating all the time, am I losing my life? And I've had people be really worried about that. Like, and I'll just affirm, like, be gentle with yourself. When we start to notice things, we just notice them. And what would you like to explore for yourself? So it's about maybe now shifting awareness to work with that energy differently. But, and maybe now noticing that there's a time to ejaculate that you're choosing versus a time that doesn't feel as supportive. But that for me, the reason I call that a choice path is because it's not about hyper control or mastery. It's not about just turning off ejaculations forever. It's about listening deeply to your body to acknowledge when one feels appropriate, when you may choose to recirculate or work with the energy differently. And again, this comes back to empowered sexuality, choice, and letting go. So this path, then, I encourage, it can be taught with a lot of rigidity. I encourage it to be have the awareness of a bit of fluidity that says, I'm making a choice, and that choice might include when it feels appropriate to ejaculate. Now, those tools and techniques are things that often are pieces that I share in some of my work, for sure, and they have some really specific and beautiful function in the body when we can start to really connect with ways to run this energy. That path, what I've noticed, that all these years of calling it male ejaculatory choice, is also really supportive in women. So what I'm going to say is, in all of us, as multi-gendered beings, however we relate in our gender, however we relate in our expression of gender or expression of sexual preference, that some of these practices can really apply when we feel like our sexual energy is driving so fast, so genitally, and so outward that it would feel delightful for it to come inward and back and wide and feel maybe more satiating, more complete, more expansive, that some of these tools can apply. And that really woke up in me as I was noticing my own energetic bodies, I was referring to before, of feeling, yep, I'm in a female physical body and have related it as female for a long time. And in the past couple of years, really starting to delight in and relate to and acknowledge my male energy bodies. And that while I can dance in my femaleness and in her feminine and masculine, I can also dance in my maleness, in the fact that I have an energetic cock or lingam or etheric body. It's part of the etheric body. And I believe we all have access to this if we choose. But this, and so to really develop and start to work with my maleness and its feminine and masculine qualities, because we all, it's in all of us. And so it's been an interesting dance. So I've noticed that some of the techniques that I was traditionally sharing and teaching as male are actually really supportive for male energetic bodies as well as male physical bodies. And that means they apply anywhere. And how freeing and liberating is that? So that we don't have to just go, oh, well, you know, I'm really identified in my male energetic body, but I have female physical body parts. So what does that look like? And I'll invite, that's when we dance in, let's dance with the male energetic body and the feminine and masculine of that. Like, so we don't have to name it even. It becomes this fluidic dance of working with how can I acknowledge my energy and be who I am, and now work with some conscious tools. And these conscious tools that are out there, even when they often seem heterosexually named, I want to invite, have a huge application. And that's what I've been developing and working with most recently, is ways to better articulate that, because it's incredible and it is so freeing, right? How freeing is that to go, I don't have to try to force fit myself into some box over here to work with this way of being. I can just be me and let the tools have their flexible fluidity to apply to me. Awesome. And I encourage that for all of you, whether you identify as male or female, or trans male or trans female, or maybe none of those words apply, or, you know, and that's the beauty. Like, I don't even want to get into trying to list all the names. Let yourself feel in your body. And so these tools now become applicable for working with energy, because the reality is, whether or not the sperm is, quote, actually leaving the body, it can, even if it leaves the body, there's still a way to recirculate the energy so that it's not just about, oh, no, I lost sperm and therefore I've lost energy. No, it's the energy of the sperm can be retained and worked with in the body. And so that's the real power. It's also a real freeing power to know, oh, yay. So you mean if I'm a woman who's had a hysterectomy, or, you know, have had ovaries removed. And so now you're talking about working with sexual energy and you're referring to womb space or uterus or ovaries, but I don't have that. Oh, you know, and feeling that could be really hard to identify with. Your bodies, the energetics of those facets of those bodies are still with you. And I encourage actually giving them awareness and light to say, yes, I can connect with and work with my energy differently, even if physical body parts aren't exactly aligned in the way somebody said they should be in a textbook. There is a beautiful freedom in this. And this is what I want to, again, come back to: empowered sexuality. We are all sexual beings in some way. It's what brought us here. Letting ourselves feel and connect with and be open with the fact that we are, and let ourselves be whatever that is. We don't have to name it in some way or force fit ourselves into some box. It becomes more about then repatterning old limiting beliefs, allowing yourself to be authentically, naturally who you are, and just allowing that authentic brilliance of you to be. At a very simple statement, that's what it comes down to. So all these tools that get gender named have a way to be rescripted and rewritten. And there are powerful ways to work with them that sometimes aren't seen. And coming back to Western sexology and even facets of Western tantra that I've seen tend to look at it as like gender. I see it a lot. And blessings, it can be. And when it really feels aligned that way, somebody who's super feeling aligned with male or female, and that just really is a fit, it's fantastic because it can really be supportive to learn the practices. And it just doesn't always fit. Even in people who, like myself, I would say never identified as transgender, but I never quite fit with the girl box. So I didn't know where I fit because I'm like, well, I don't want to change my gender. I feel really good in this skin. But, you know, what does that look like? So my point being just letting each of us express in the way that we fit, and then letting the tools meet us instead of force fitting ourselves into the way the box is written. And so I've been over the years, like really, it's always felt like important for me, and I've had a hard time articulating it. So I'm still in the process of rewriting things to really honor this. And, you know, that will probably continue to emerge as I do. But noticing and feeling and acknowledging this beautiful spectrum of who we are, I want to acknowledge deeply. So back to the male ejaculatory choice, which I'll just call ejaculatory choice, that can be worked with in any, in our energy bodies, in any way we express. And the same kind of concept is true for what I've always called female ejaculation, which is a different way of ejaculating. I mean, it's a different set of parts of the body, but the essence of female ejaculation and the qualities of what I'm describing as I've, and again, past episodes on this, I have video casts on this, I teach classes about it. It all relates to many bodies, and because it's about honoring the deep territory of being penetrated. And it's not just beings with a vagina that are penetrated, right? That we can penetrate energetically, and we can penetrate physically, say anus and rectum, for example, mouths. There's lots of ways that we're honoring coming into the deep terrain of the body, and the deep terrain specifically of the pelvis, that is an analogy across how many, many bodies are built. So when I talk about the value of and the juiciness of letting go into female ejaculation, it's not just about being in a female body set up with the specific set of structure that supports the ejaculate coming through and being formed in the female prostate, which is the G-spot, and then ejaculated through urethra. But it's got a wider application of what's it like to relax and allow and tap into that receptive surrender place that is our deep feminine, regardless of how we identify in gender or in physical body. And so these tools and these concepts really apply pretty broadly across the spectrum of humanness. And then, again, the way we identify and relate to our bodies, we will have more alignment with one or another often. So it's not, you know, some of us are going to be very 50-50 in the realm. Like for me, energetically in the realm of my bodies, I find I'm really in a 50-50 place of feminine, masculine. Many people are not. Many people are much stronger wired towards primarily masculine or primarily feminine, and that's honored too. So I think part of the 50-50-ness is it's helping me see and acknowledge both sides of the spectrum in deeper places of compassion. At least that's what I hold as an intention, is to do my best to see broadly and widely and to offer that bridge of awareness of possibility. And that's been a real passion of mine, being here in this physical body this time around. So I've been so grateful to really check in and listen to my body, because this has emerged from as an exploration of deeply listening to my body, which is the core to me of my work and my path and what I offer. Allow yourself to slow down with love and respect and to listen to your body. And with that, I want to invite taking a short break, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Thank you for joining us today. You are listening live to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you would like to contact Leslie, please venture to mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com, where you can find all of her contact information and where you can contact her for speaking engagements or for private sessions. Tantric Energy Touch Workshop, available on CD. Have you wanted to attend a class but were a little nervous about the group setting? Explore a live Tantric Energy Touch class in the comfort of your home with a partner or by yourself with this audio CD. Order online, see the website. Tantric Energy Touch Workshop on CD, a guided practical introduction to exploring energy through breath, sound, movement, visualization, and touch. Announcing the 2015-2016 season of Sacred Sexuality classes are now posted and open for registration. Join us for the next classes in February or March and sign up by December 16th, which is tomorrow, for 20% off tuition. See the website for more details. The best way to get announcements about upcoming events, as well as inspirational stories, videos, and radio show archives, is by clicking on the link available under Contact at the website. Announcing Leslie's new monthly Sacred Sexuality video cast. You choose your level of involvement, whether you want to be part of the conversation live or sit back and take it in. See details at the website under event calendar to join in. The next one is Wednesday, January 6th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Join us at the next Temple Community Gathering. Curious about Mystery School of the Temple Arts offerings but not sure where to start? Join us at a Temple Gathering. The next one will be Sunday, January 24th from 5 to 7 p.m. This is a regular gathering for seekers at Mystery School of the Temple Arts, getting a chance to connect and discuss openly on sexuality, tantra, consciousness, spirituality, and more. After an opening meditation, we hold a sacred circle, creating a safe space to share and ask questions on intimate topics you didn't think you could talk about. Such a beautiful group forms each time, and we love seeing how Spirit guides us together. The gathering is free of charge. Donations to support the temple are welcome, but not required. Please contact Leslie to RSVP and for location details. More information available at the website under offerings. And now I give you back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Hi. Thank you, Courtney. I invite you all to settle in once again with me with a few breaths to feel the body. And to sum up this nature, as we release the boxes around our sexuality and open to empowered sexuality of choice and letting go, what's it like to acknowledge that orgasms and ejaculations, these are things that aren't tied together, no matter what our body. We sometimes think they happen at the same time, so they're one thing, but what's it like to acknowledge, I can connect with my energy and feel the vibrancy of orgasmic pleasure and separate that from something that may feel draining or refractory in nature, like down, you know, having to go to sleep. So life-giving vibrancy and making choices when it is a nice time to let go of that tension and to release. And acknowledging that no matter our body, female, male, or otherwise, that there are ejaculations, there are orgasms in all of us. And how those interplay and dance and emerge is a unique balance for all of us. And it's not about driving towards or having to have something. It's about allowing and opening and letting the body reveal what it's feeling called to reveal. So with the breath to notice and feel in your own body, to open to the transmission of possibility that says, yes, I don't have to fit in a box. And that, yes, when labels feel really good and of service, I can totally choose to try them on. And I can choose to change them around. Release them when they're no longer done, when they're no longer of service. Try on new ones with the core of allowing myself to be the authentically unique divine being that I am, simply to be, uncovering the layers, letting go of limiting beliefs, unwinding, revealing, letting go of blocks, healing the wounded spots to allow that natural, authentic self to shine and to be, and that our sexual energy is a powerful life force that can be the awakening spirit of support, of clearing and forging the way through the body, relaxing in the pelvis, softening the womb space, letting yourself receive and open and allow your own unique brilliance to shine. Taking a moment to exhale away a limiting thought, a belief, a structure, something that lit up in you as we were exploring today that, maybe it's time to let that one go. Exhaling some sound, letting the earth carry away any heaviness, anything that doesn't serve, and feel her power of transmutation as a gift. Thank you, earth. And then an inhale to invite in new possibility. What is the new possible me? What is that creative aliveness that I am? Allow yourself to breathe it in. To trust it, to see it, to honor that in your coding. And with a breath of gratitude for being in a body and for listening to it, I am honored to share with deep gratitude. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us live today with Leslie Blackburn and Sacred Sexuality. If you would like to contact Leslie, please go to mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. Leslie is also available for private sessions, and you can find more information about this at the website mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com, which is a private studio in West Dearborn, Michigan. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Have a wonderful rest of the holiday season, and until next month.
Join us again next time for continued support on your path of self-realization. The power is within you to heal your body, connect deeply with others, manifest your heart's desires, and experience your deepest bliss. By our healing, we impact others, inspiring love for humanity and the planet. Thank you for joining us for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn.